Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is John Tamney, who is an editor with The Real Clear Markets. He's also involved with FreedomWorks, the organization, by the way. Their website is freedomworks.org. And we're going to talk about the economy and specifically some tips that the lawmakers might consider within the private sector. So, for example, related to Amazon. In fact, here's a key sentence, and I'll have John wax eloquent on this. Quote, "The best and most valuable companies of today don't have major plant and equipment needs." Now, that's an interesting point. And, John, in a sense, what you're saying is that as the Republican lawmakers try to, you know, consider jump-starting the economy and improving the economy for everybody, they need to be careful to realize this is a new world and don't operate on old assumptions that are basically out of date and old-fashioned.
Well, yeah, Jerry, you put it so well. That's exactly my argument, that when the Republicans focus on basically allowing businesses to immediately expense their purchases of plant and equipment, computers, factories, all this, they're essentially addressing an economy from 100 years ago when businesses were very reliant on the factories. I mean, it used to be that New York City was the number one manufacturing city. Los Angeles was the number four manufacturing city. But that's a thing of the past. Nowadays, the best, most valuable companies have very little in the way of plant and equipment. Their number one asset, and nothing else comes close, is the people who show up for work every day. It's a people economy today. And so my argument is that the tax code should reflect this, that the focus should always be just on reducing taxes on corporations altogether, leaving out subsidies for different kinds of purchases.
Huh. Well, first of all, you begin with a case study or an example from Warren Buffett and an investment he made in Israel. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, Buffett back in 2006 invested several billion dollars in ISCAR, a machine tool maker in Israel. And so the question at the time was, why would he do that? Why would he put so much money into a company that is within range of rockets from all sorts of Israel's enemies? And the argument that was made was that Buffett's not worried about factories. They can be rebuilt. Buffett was investing in the people who show up for work at ISCAR every day around the world. It was a people investment. And that cannot be stressed enough. People are mobile. People can move to, they can get around it. Factories, that's just something that can be rebuilt any single day. And so my argument is that the tax code should reflect this reality, that the value comes from the people, not from the computers or lathes or tractors that companies buy.
Okay, talk for a moment, if you would, since you mentioned the idea of taxes and corporations and giving tax write-offs for this and that and the other. You always hear people on the media saying, oh, they're trying to give tax benefits to the rich and so forth when it comes to, you know, our economic future. So your thoughts on that?
Well, I hope so. And I say that I'm not a rich person, but the richer are where the action is. We can't get around the basic truth that there are no companies and no jobs without investment first. It's a reality. For a job to be created, there must be abundant savings. There must be abundant investment to make that job possible. For a company to be formed, there must be abundant investment available. And so what do the rich have? They have got massive amounts of wealth. And so if you want to stimulate the economy, you don't cut my taxes. You reduce the taxes on the people who have enormous sums. We also can't forget that the rich, for being rich, can take risks that someone like me cannot. ESPN wouldn't exist today if not for the Getty Oil Trust taking a flyer on it back in 1980. Silicon Valley was a creation of inherited wealth, precisely because just about every company ever founded in Silicon Valley has failed. And because that's true, you need people who it won't kill them. It won't be the end of their life, at least as investors, if a few companies die. They can take risks that the average person can't.
Now, you, in your article, you give a big example about, in fact, it's even in the title here, Amazon, the company, huge, you know, probably becoming the world's largest retailer or on its way toward that. They are going to consider building a second headquarters, and this has object lessons for Congress and everybody else to learn. Comment on that, if you would.
Yeah, well, it first says that taxes matter. It's hard to imagine that Amazon's not doing this, at least somewhat, to signal to Seattle that if Seattle and or the state of Washington ever become too onerous in terms of taxes, this is Amazon's way of saying, we're mobile. We can move anywhere. Our best assets are our people who show up for work every day. If you make it difficult on us, we've got another headquarters. We can move. So that's important. But what's also important about this is you have to consider why Amazon, what it was looking for, and I point out in the article, what it was looking for in announcing its second headquarters. Its focus was on a city that is full of really talented people. It wasn't about a tax break, although I'm sure Amazon will get it. It wasn't. It was about we need to be in a place where we can bid on a very good pool of individual workers. It's not about tractors, trucks, or anything like that. It's about people. And that is the modern economy. And so I'm for tax cuts every day of the week. I just make the point that when Republicans focus on offering up subsidies for businesses that buy lots of equipment, they're ignoring the economy of today. Uber, what plant and equipment does it have? It's just got an app that puts buyers and sellers together. Amazon, it's got a nice office complex, and it'll have more of that, but its assets is its people. Republicans should have tax policy reflect that.
Huh, interesting. You quote in the article, one of your colleagues, Amazon has stated that to even be considered as the home of its second corporate headquarters, a city needs a million-plus metropolitan population, mass transit, a strong higher education system, a large, technically fluent workforce, and the ability to attract and retain skilled workers.
Yep, I think the big story there is that it's searching for a million plus people. And then while I would never support and don't support big government projects in terms of transportation, the simple truth is young people today like to live in city centers. They're not as suburban focused. They like to live around other young people. And so strangely enough, it's not to defend metro systems and subway systems, but those are attractive to young kids. But the main thing is that Apple or Amazon believes that where the cities that are big are full of young people who've clustered there, and they feel that that's the best source of the people that will build their business. And so notice how they're not talking about taxes specifically. Obviously, taxes are a big deal. But their main thing is that Amazon's growth will be a function of attracting the best people. That's why a city full of young people means so much to the company.
Hmm. By the way, it's strange, but when you consider so many of these Silicon Valley companies, a lot of them, I just don't agree with their politics when they state it or when they make donations to liberal causes and, you know, organizations that are doing bad things in the culture wars and so forth. But I won't, that doesn't mean I don't recognize that they're not doing a good job as far as selling their product, you know, like Apple, for example. And so it's just kind of a shame to see that. I do want to ask you this. What about the situation where you see a lot of malls and retail shops just closing up because, you know, people are just shopping online? That's just kind of the direction we're heading, I guess.
Yeah, it's an exciting thing. I mean, you always hate to see a business have to close. There are people involved. There are investors involved. There are owners involved. And so that's never fun. But overall, what an exciting thing. Because it's not as though these shops are going, or these physical spaces are going to disappear. What is going to disappear is the nature of them. They're going to change. For every business that goes out of business, we used to always be relying on Blockbuster Video. Well, they're not here anymore. But other things have filled in their place. And what can't be stressed enough is that this is called progress. This is why we're a rich nation. It's only in countries where things never change, where the businesses of today are still here tomorrow and 10 years from now, that economic growth is near non-existent. The fact that we're constantly replacing the businesses of the past, the fact that the shopping malls of today will in many ways not resemble what they'll look like a year, 2 years, 10 years from now, is a sign of why we're the richest country in the world.
But the adjustment, the human adjustment is difficult. But you can think of, imagine a meeting of the buggy makers of America, in 1910 in Cleveland, Ohio, saying, oh, we can't believe this stuff that's going on in Detroit with these, self-made automobiles or self-driving automobiles. This is terrible. But anyway.
Yeah, and I would just say to that I would take it. I would disagree with the notion that the human adjustment is going to be difficult. If you look at places where the change is constant, places like Silicon Valley, places like New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, in fact, that's where things change the quickest. But that's also where the opportunity is. It's the places in the U.S. It's the places around the world where change isn't happening, that people are suffering the most. And so I think what needs to be stressed is where the shop fronts are constantly in flux, constantly evolving, that's also where the investment's going. Investment is the source of the job creation. Where that's not happening is where people want to avoid. And you can see why that's true. Young people, for instance, don't necessarily want to work in factories, but they do want to work in Amazon. And so you look at places that are stuck in the past that have the jobs in the past, they're the ones suffering the most economically.
Yeah, I remember my dad saying to me one time, and by the way, he grew up as a poor farm boy, but made good, helping as an executive or whatever in a major newspaper in Chicago, a couple of them actually. But he said to me one time, look, if jobs is all you care about, let's suppose you have a steam shovel, okay? And this steam shovel can, dig up all this dirt. Well, if you want more jobs, why not just give 100 men spoons and they can dig up the dirt and it'll probably, in 1 hour that steam shovel guy could do more than what those people can do with the spoons. But hey, they'll have jobs.
Absolutely. You say it so well. I mean, think if jobs were the focus, let's just abolish the tractor, the computer, the ATM machine, and the Internet. There would be abundant jobs. We would be an immensely poor country. Americans would be miserable. But there would be jobs. And your dad speaks to something important. He grew up a farm boy. What's apparent is that he did not want to work on the farm, and so he migrated to a city, Chicago, where there was different opportunity. What's important about this is that people talk about factory jobs. What they leave out is that the parents and grandparents who worked in factories worked diligently to make sure that their kids would not have to do the backbreaking work that they did. We've gone from a farm to manufacturing to service economy. This is called progress. The day we're suddenly creating jobs in manufacturing and farming is the day that we are going backwards as a nation and that we're rapidly becoming poor, that we're basically going the way of Detroit, but nationwide.
Ooh, that's a good point. Okay, we've got 20 seconds for a concluding thought, especially what can the legislators, or what should they do as far as jump-starting the economy?
Economies are people. And so people do best when they're taxed less, regulated less, when the dollars they earn hold their value, and when they have the world competing to serve their needs in terms of trade. Economic growth is easy. Just reduce the barriers, reduce the cost of work.
FreedomWorks.com. Again, our guest has been John Tamney. Thank you so much for being with us, sir. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry, for having me on.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.